The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
It's the Cigar Authority After Show, and it's brought to you by Roma Craft Tobacco. Since 2010, Mike Rosales and Skip Martin have focused on the simple and time-honored task of combining quality tobacco, experienced craftsmen, and the right amount of time to bring you cigars worthy of the legacy of the centuries of premium cigar craftsmen that came before them. Whether you are revisiting the anti-prohibition era mindset of intemperance or getting in touch with your more primal side with a Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, you are sure to find a blend in the RomaCraft House of Brands that fits the exact balance of flavor, strength, and body you are looking for in that moment. When you're finally able to take a short break from the world to relax and enjoy a cigar, the last thing you need is a complicated sales pitch. Simple, yet substantial. Tobacco, talent, time. RomaCraft Tobacco.
The After Show, the After Show, the After Show. It's the After Show, everybody. The show immediately following the show.
Right after the show. We don't even take a break.
No, no break. Just get
right away.
And really, the show was yesterday. The show was yesterday. March Madness. No, it is not that basketball thing. What are you thinking about?
Stop being foolish,
yes.
People.
It is the March Madness sale event that Two Guys Smoke Shop puts on every single year. It's got to be 30 years. It's actually 29 years. This is the 29th year we did it because it was when we moved up to New Hampshire. One-day sale to unload inventory. So we need to turn inventory into cash, and we need to get rid of it and get it off the books. It's sitting around. It's not doing anything. So we have this sale every year. It happened because the tax man came in one day, was right before this time of year, and he said, you owe, 29 years ago, you owe $100,000 in taxes. And I laughed in his face when he said it because my salary was $26,000. How do I owe $100,000? I pay weekly, I pay quarterly, and now it's the time to pay yearly, and I have to pay. I've already done the quarterlies. I've already done the every single week it comes on my pay, and some guy that makes $26,000, you tell me he owes another $100,000. And he goes, no, this is why, because it becomes inventory. Your inventory is more than it was before.
Because you don't buy a yacht. You buy cigars.
I bought something valuable to the company, and instead of taking the money and buying something for myself,
you reinvested in your business.
And therefore, the business was worth, say, $250,000 more, and that tax is $100,000. And he said, you could have took the money, but instead you bought more cigars with it. So your inventory of cigars is so much more. You have to pay tax on that. And I go, so what happens? I mean, do you go to jail? Do you pay fines? Do you do, you know, what ends up happening? Because it's going to take me forever to be able to pay that. It's going to take me 10
years.
Forget
about then the next year, what do?
Yeah. So he said, no, you just have to run a sale and turn some inventory into cash, $100,000 worth. So I create this March Madness thing. And it was happened to be the first Friday in March was coming up. This was very quickly done. If this was on Monday, he says, this is what you have to do. I'm like, okay, Friday we'll run the sale. We'll call it Midnight Madness Sale. And we'll be open till midnight, one day only a year. And everything is on sale. And we got stuff that'll be even as much as 50% off of even more. And I put it all over the windows of the store. And I tell everybody. And in those days, email is very scarce or whatever. There's not nobody really paying attention to that. I don't know if I got some letters out, you know, put in envelopes and stuff or whatever I ended up doing.
Put it in your AOL chat?
I don't know. Again, 29 years ago.
MySpace back then? Did you put it on your MySpace?
I didn't have it. I didn't even have that because I didn't know how to do it, and I still don't. Hmm. But people came out. And we raised $100,000. And I would say zero profit. But we got rid of product, and I was able to pay the taxes, and I'm like, shit, I'll never do that again. Well, as Two Guys continued to grow and open more stores and open a warehouse, inventory keeps growing. And every time that ends up happening, which is every year, here it is. It's time to do it again. So we unload inventory. But why and when should somebody unload their cigars, and why? And we're talking not just the store, but the consumer. It's not just because to raise money. There's many, many different ways to do that. So we'll start as a retailer because that's what I am. I actually am both. I'm a consumer also, and I have to do both. I have to unload cigars sometimes that, you know, there's only so much room in my humidor. Yeah, smoke more or whatever. But why does a retailer sell cigars less than cost? Why does this end up happening? Retailer may sell products for less than cost for several reasons, though it is not substantial practice to do this long term. The reason might be for certain behavior that ends up happening, like I told you. So loss leaders, you've heard of loss leaders, mm-hmm. that ends up happening. Sure. You see that a lot on Black Friday.
Thanksgiving is a good example. The turkey prices are less than a dollar a pound, and of course they paid more than a dollar a pound per turkey.
Yeah, so why do they do that?
So that you buy the stuff in the middle of the store, the chips and the higher margin products.
They and get the your stuffing ass. And the potatoes, yeah. and the thing, because you're not just serving turkey on Thanksgiving.
Correct.
So we'll sell the turkey and lose money, but are you going to come in and buy the turkey there and then go to the next store and buy the other stuff? You're there.
I mean, when we were kids, we were poor, so yeah, we had 10 turkeys in the freezer.
Really? So loss leaders are done to let that end up happening, bring them in, and they're going to buy other stuff, and they sell products at a loss and hope they make up for it by higher margin products to the same customer, and hopefully at the same time that actually can happen. I strongly don't recommend that for a cigar retailer, because if you're selling a certain cigar at a loss, and you're hoping the guy's going to buy a lighter or an ashtray.
No, you're going to end up having to give that dude matches.
Right.
And he's going to pre-cut his cigars using the store slobber cutter.
Yeah. So I don't recommend this loss leader stuff. I don't think it would ever work for any reason. If you were doing an event with a celebrity that comes or something like that, and it costs you X amount of dollars to do it, and there's no way you're going to make it up, but you've got all those people in your store that'll know where your store is and all that. Maybe a loss leader such as that of your expenses for that event.
That's no different, though, than an advertisement expense. If you took out an ad in the paper or on a podcast or whatever, that's just an advertising expense.
Absolutely. So promotions and discounts. Retailers may offer temporary discounts as promotion to drive sales during slower periods to compete with other retailers. These discounts might be temporary cause for products to be sold for less than cost. So why March Madness? Well, I told you why March Madness. It happened to be that taxes are due, and that was the timing of it. But why did it keep on going? I got smarter over time, and I can get inventory down at December, because that's right. December 31st is the day you end up seeing
that's
what it
the
is.
Line in the sand drop.
Yeah, so the manufacturers know, and my reps that I buy from know, don't try to sell me cigars in November and December, because
right.
I'm not buying.
Which is crazy, because we're seeing so many more new cigars launching at the end
yes.
of the year, and it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
And who's going to buy them?
Well, they may have the same tax ramifications where they have to get inventory out
of course
themselves.
They do. Of yeah. course they do. But they're having them launch and land to them, and it doesn't make any sense. Now that the PCA has changed the date, maybe that's going to improve over time. But I'm not buying at that time of year. And what I'm trying to do in September, the first Friday in September, is actually to launch cigar smoking season. And it might be a little too early because it's still March and it's cold. Beginning of March, it's still cold. And you could say, you know, it's really starting to warm up around April showers, spring May flowers, and May whatever. I'm trying to move it further in my favor, and let's start cigar smoking season earlier. Normally, in New England, first week in March.
It's not a nice week.
It's not going to be a busy season for certainly other retailers. So it's busy for me, but there's no profit. You know, I'm turning inventory into cash and getting rid of it, but trying to, at the same time, get something else out of it, which is the start of it. Suppliers' incentives. Suppliers offer incentives or rebate to retailers selling their products, which effectively lower the cost to the retailer for that product. They could now pass that savings on to the consumer. Now, this may sound terrible with me saying it, as I'm thinking of what I'm about to say, but I am going to say it. I choose not to give that savings to the consumer, myself. I would rather give that to, believe it or not, my staff. And because incentives from suppliers are called SPIFs, Sales Incentive.
Sales Performance Incentive Fund.
Yeah. And now I would say, okay, hey, we got a good deal on these Brand X. For every one of Brand X you sell, I'm going to give you a little money for each one, too, for the month of March. And we got a good deal on them. And guess what? I'm making a little bit more money, and they make some extra money because we got the deal on the cigar. So a little profit sharing going on with that. But maybe a store would choose to say, okay, let's lower the price for that product, mm-hmm. Which would not help them in any way as far as financially profitable, but maybe they gain some customers. But I worry about now you raise the price.
Well, it's a race to the bottom is what it ends up being.
But when you took the price down, which, oh, I'm happy you took the price down, 30 days later you raise the price, and then they say, he raises prices. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he lowered them before he raised it. I forgot that.
Right.
He raised his price. Error and oversight. Occasionally, pricing errors and oversights can result in a product being sold for less than the cost unintentionally.
Yeah, you see that online sometimes, right? Where all of a sudden somebody will say, you should go buy this thing because they have it priced wrong online.
Priced wrong.
And most reputable people will still honor whatever they published at the time. So.
Listen, retailers, you need to know your cost of goods sold. Cost of goods sold.
Including shipping. It's all costs.
Yes.
It's all costs.
But it's amazing that some don't even know it.
You know the old adage, right? We lose money on every sale, but make it up in volume.
In volume, yeah. And we laugh because it's so not true. And I'm joking with customers yesterday on there, and they go, the guy ends up buying his cigars, and he goes, wow, that's a lot less than I thought it was going to be. I said, is that pretty amazing? How do we do it? Everyone's asking. Volume. Look at the line of people that are here. And they laugh because they know we're losing money, end up doing it. But we pull it off like a Band-Aid. It's all in one day, 8 hours, and it's over. And we don't have to worry about that for the rest of the year and gear up for next year. Some people I only see once a year, which is sad that, you know, they're not really customers. But
no, they'll come in and buy a year's worth of cigars at that sale.
Yeah. Market entry or expansion in new markets, when somebody is entering a new market, especially if it somebody who's already doing business and they're going to open in a new area, they may come in and actually lower the price, shaking out competition. And, you know, first time they go in the store, everybody says, oh, my God, his prices are lower. You got to worry about, though, the day, okay, they're there, and then it goes back up to the regular price.
Right. What's going to happen when Walmart finally drives everybody else out of business?
Yeah, which is always the case. And the last one, which is what I did, but first, let's make some beautiful music with Avo Cigars.
From moments worth remembering to stories worth telling and notes worth savoring, Avo Cigars. Lyrics of top-charted songs. Can you guess the name of the song and the artist from the wrong lyrics or even the right ones? Avo Cigars.
Okay, here's the right lyrics to it. Ed Sullivan, I know you know this one.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy. I hope it's not like last week where I couldn't come up with it.
It may be.
Jim Collison said he was yelling the answer at his radio.
I used to think maybe you loved me. Now, baby, I'm sure. I used to think maybe you loved me. Now, baby, I'm sure. I'm not saying it the right
no,
way.
No, I know. I know, because I recognize the lyrics, but I can't quite get the tune in my head.
Struggling to hum the tune myself. Mm-hmm. I used to think, baby, you love me. That is, hang on.
Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. I got that based on Jonathan singing.
There we go.
I will take a quarter of a point for
no,
that.
No, you'll get nothing. No, so maybe, you won't, do it. Maybe
no,
you won't
I'm
do that again.
I'm giving myself 1/4. Look, no. I'm writing it down. 1/4 point.
You get nothing. I mean, God have mercy on your soul.
I know.
You get nothing.
And Jonathan didn't notice I didn't hit my button until after I blurted out the answer. So you still could have snuck in.
Yep. I mean, I guess I could sneak in now.
But well, see, no, you I hit the button.
As you're doing these things, see what happens. You help the other guy out and...
If but I'm going to help somebody, I'd like it to be Ed Sullivan.
That yeah. was actually a pretty hard one, but I knew you would know
walking
that.
Walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, so the last one is clearance or liquidation, and this is exactly what I do. Sometimes a retailer needs to clean out old and slow-moving inventory to make room for new products. This is why I'm so psyched of the change of the PCA. Mm. The PCA is 3 weeks away.
Whoa.
I just cleared out shitloads of cigars. Sometimes it's a certain size of the line that, you know, we carry the yeah. line. We're going to continue to carry the line.
Right.
But this is just a dead size. Get rid of it.
Sometimes it's whole brand.
Whole brands.
And then you get back shelf space.
It's been whole manufacturers at certain yeah. times. Every brand that they have, that for whatever
well,
reason.
Well, and then sometimes the manufacturer discontinues the product, and you bought extra for an event.
Right.
And yep. There's no shot at getting rid of it.
These items are sold at a loss and as opposed to keeping it around and celebrating another anniversary with it, which a lot of retailers do. And they take pride, for whatever reason, of having stuff, oh, this is one's 8 years old. It's sitting there for 8 years. If you could only get close to your money back.
That's capital just sitting there on the shelf that you could be using to buy more popular brands.
And if you bought the new popular brand with it, and that brand sold, and you made money on it, and then you had to rebuy it again, and you made more money on it, and you bought it again, and you bring more money. Can you imagine how many times with that $100 you paid for that box of cigars been sitting there for 8 years, you have 4 turns a year for the past 8 years?
Yeah.
It's 32 times your money because you're hanging on to that because you said, listen, I paid $100 for it. There's no way I'm selling it for $80. Sell it for $80. Do whatever you got to do. Certainly sell it for $100. Wouldn't you love your money back on yeah. that product?
And listen, it's bringing cash into the business. Not as much as you would like at full price, but you're getting cash.
And I would recommend what I do, which is do it once a year,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to turn your store into that, because what happens now is they won't buy cigars from you unless it's on right. sale. So if you're doing it all the time, oh, this week, here's the special of the week, and you blow it out. Next week, here's the next
right.
one. And people come in and they're just going to say, where's the special this week?
You do suffer a little bit on both sides of that
sure.
sale. Not so much on the front end, but people will in the last week say, okay, I'm waiting.
Yes.
On the back end, if somebody really stocked up, you might not see them for a while.
Some an entire year.
Yep.
Some, but less and less and less, hopefully, mistakes that you make and you start buying more properly or whatever. In my case, I buy heavy. If I mm-hmm. even if it's a new brand, then I'm going to try it because it's 3 stores plus online and high volume stores that do it, and I try to give it a good shot and take
yeah,
three or four sizes.
You can't be out of it right at the beginning. You can't buy one to show, one to go, and then you blow through it in 2 customers, and now you have none.
As a consumer, just from March Madness sale, I've seen the improvement in your buying over time.
Yes,
because there used to be. A lot more
oh, there
yeah.
were
on the 50 tables.
Yeah, there were 5 right. tables worth.
Yeah. Right.
It was like
yeah.
this half of the store is 50% off.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Now, how about a consumer? When should a consumer get rid of old cigars in their humidor?
Well, now, you might think because someone like Ed Sullivan, he buys what he likes. But he buys what he likes, and if there's a hotcakes event in the store, and if Rainier Lorenzo is smart, he sells Ed Sullivan his regular Corona Gordas and says, well, there's some free product that goes along with that. Here's an ashtray, here's a cutter, and you get a four-pack. Well, if that four-pack has cigars that Ed Sullivan doesn't smoke, he's got a shot at brand switching Ed Sullivan off of something else, maybe a Connecticut, and saying, well, I really like this Connecticut. But if you smoke it and you don't like it,
he's got three cigars.
Now you have three extra cigars in your humidor, and eventually those pile up.
Like my single storage now is almost full.
This is it. So perfect. You, it's full. You want room for it. Wouldn't it be nice to have room? And the cigars in there, you are going to absolutely never smoke. There's next year, plenty. It's still going to be there. Just like the retailer that has the bad cigars that aren't going to be there, it's going to be there.
So I do I have a couple of different strategies.
All right.
One is sometimes I'll just make up a big bag of them and bring them to the store for the guys to smoke here.
That's our favorite. Ed Sullivan doesn't buy cheap cigars. He has good stuff.
And then
it's like Christmas around here.
So you give them away. You could give them to...
I also give them to
other cigar smokers.
Yeah, or cigars for warriors.
Nice. That's what I had on my list.
Yeah, if there's a... I think last time I probably sent 400 or 500 cigars.
That's it. Good.
You know,
cigarsforwarriors.org. Go on there. You'll see how to do it. And you feel good after.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, other people you can, you know, who actually have friends that visit them, you can start to,
I don't
want to sit and smoke.
So you have to go to the cigar store to end up getting rid of it. But you know what you don't want to do is go into the cigar store and give it to the customers of the cigar store.
No.
Because look what you just did to the store.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is I bought all of these from you, so I'm not bringing cigars you don't sell
to
give to the employees, so they can still smoke them in the store, and somebody may say, what are you smoking? And, you know,
Absolutely. Spring is here. It's time to clean your humidors. Retailers, it's time to clean your humidors. Consumers, and get rid of the stuff you're never going to smoke.
So I do something. I throw a house party once a year, and I go through my humidor, and the stuff that I'm not going to smoke, I take out of the humidor, I lock it, I take the key out. And I have a box sitting on top of the humidor, and I tell everybody that's at the party, have whatever you want.
Yeah.
And they help me get through the stuff that I'm not going to smoke. It gets smoked that day.
Yeah.
No one's grabbing handfuls and going home with them. It gets smoked that day, and it's one and done, and I'm a nice guy for giving somebody a cigar.
I'm going
to
have to do this now because at March Madness, I bought 10 boxes of cigars. I don't have storage for 10 right now.
So it's perfect timing.
It's perfect time.
This is the time to do it. That's why we're bringing
it up. Spring cleaning.
I got you, Ed Sullivan. If you need to store some in my humidor downstairs, I got you.
I think I'm going
to give it to charity.
Yeah.
Give it to the Warriors.
I'm saying before he gets to it, if he needs to store a few boxes, I got
him. He can get to it Monday morning.
Give it away. Give it away now.
There we go. That's it. Okay, that is it for the after show today. Next week, from Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, Steve Saka will be joining us right here live in studio. Actually, some people were asking me on March Madness sale. Steve Saka is actually going to come up, and I said, he lives down the street.
I mean, as far as we know, he's coming.
Yeah, he's coming.
All right.
He's coming. He's coming, and we'll talk to him about cigars from the 80s and 90s and how that influenced us.
All the way up to today.
All the way today and tomorrow, because the trade show is right around the corner. What does tomorrow hold for Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust? We'll find that out, too, all next Saturday right here on the Cigar Authority.
Stick the lid end in your mouth. You might like it.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.